Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. This week we'll be talking about a special service Microsoft offers that provides free personal technical support to people with disabilities.
We'll speak with Neil Barnett, leader of this Disability Answer Desk, about that program and also about other resources and services that Microsoft offers to the visually impaired using screen readers or other adaptive technologies. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip is that you can get hold of a copy of Window Eyes for free. This offer is described at the website www.windoweyesforoffice.com. And in excerpting from that website, AI Squared, in collaboration with Microsoft, is excited to provide people who are blind, visually impaired, or print disabled with a completely functional and free license for AI Squared's Window Eyes screen reader. Microsoft is offering customers who have a licensed version of Office 2010 or later the ability to download Window Eyes, a screen reader for Windows PCs, free of charge. Without a valid version of Microsoft Office installed, Window Eyes will run in a restricted 30-minute demonstration mode. Now, you need to have the right operating system, so Vista or later. It's compatible with Microsoft Office 2010 or later, and it's available in 19 different languages currently, and they're all free except there's a slight extra charge for Hebrew or Arabic.
So if you're looking for a free, modern screen reader that works very well with many applications, including the newest Microsoft applications and Windows 10, you'll want to try it out.
And later in the show, in addition to talking about all the resources and services that Microsoft offers, we will also be talking about their program to hire people with disabilities.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
the Guide Dog Foundation, training and placing guide dogs for over 70 years, providing independence, enhanced mobility, and companionship to people who are visually impaired or have other special needs at no personal cost. To learn more about their programs or to apply for a guide dog, visit www.guidedog.org. Let's start by meeting Neil Barnett and learning about Microsoft in general before we get to the focus topic, where we'll be talking about the services they provide to people with disabilities.
My name is Neil Barnett. I lead the Microsoft Disability Answer Desk, and I also oversee some of our inclusive hiring for people with disabilities at Microsoft.
Do you have a disability yourself?
No, I do not.
How did you get into the field?
So a great question. Probably the last 2 years I've gotten into the field. One is I have a support operations background, and so I had the opportunity a few years ago to get involved with the Disability Answer Desk and help expand that service, which I'm happy to talk about in a little bit. And I also got involved in our inclusive hiring for people with disabilities, really the autism program at Microsoft. And we've expanded that to all abilities, and so I've been a lot more involved in hiring individuals with different disabilities, and then accessibility obviously is an extension of that. So it's just kind of all come together over the last few years.
Everybody knows that Microsoft is the source of Windows, but can you give a quick overview of what Microsoft does in addition?
Yeah, I mean, so obviously people think about Microsoft and Windows, but Microsoft is, you know, a software platform company that has a lot more than just Windows. Your customers and everyone's probably heard of, you know, whether it's Xbox or Skype or Office 365. So it's really a company that produces technology, software, that really is the goal of empowering all individuals of all abilities to bring the most out of it. And so it's a lot more than just the Windows platform.
You've mentioned several initiatives of Microsoft's regarding people with disabilities. Can you summarize Microsoft's mission as related to accessibility?
Yeah, I think if you look at the overall mission and vision of Microsoft, is really to empower all abilities with our technology. And so from an accessibility point of view, we're very committed to using technology for everyone to get the most out of technology, to empower them to live the most productive lives, whether that's through employment or just through their own life. And so we're very invested in making technology accessible to everyone.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is the services provided by the Disability Answer Desk at Microsoft, as well as many of their other resources and services for people with disabilities.
So today we wanted to mostly talk about Microsoft's Disability Answer Desk, but maybe you can tell us about how it got started and what it's all about.
Yeah, sure. It's probably started a little over 2 years ago, started very small. But at Microsoft, like many large corporations, we have a 1-800 tier one technical support number. And what we realized was customers that had disabilities were calling into our support line, and a lot of our customers use assistive technology. And we weren't the best at understanding all the nuances of assistive technology and how it worked with our products and how each different system worked. And so what we decided to do was kind of build out this dedicated team of support engineers. You know, not only were they really good at Windows and Office, but they understood the different types of ATs out there and, you know, could work with customers a little bit better and provide that high level of service that we want.
Now, most of our listeners have visual impairments or other print impairments, but your Disability Answer Desk covers a wide range of disabilities, right?
Yeah, it covers all different types of disabilities, from mobility to hearing. We actually have a ASL support line that we do video phone sign language. And then obviously vision is a big customers who call us with vision or low vision is a big call driver of ours. So yeah, all different types of disabilities.
Now, when you talk about tier one support,
yep,
people should understand that's for these corporate customers who are paying, you know, a fair amount of money to get some support directly from Microsoft. But this service you're talking about here is actually a free service that's offered to individuals. That's usually difficult to get from corporations.
Yeah, no, totally. And that you're absolutely right. This is a free service. It's a 1-800 free service for our tier one support for the Disability Answer Desk. And, you know, we feel like it's the right investment, not to charge. And so, you know, we talk to roughly 12,000 customers a month. We offer phone support. We offer sign language support. And then we also offer chat support for customers that prefer to chat. Those three options are available in the U.S. We also have support outside the U.S. for other markets. And we also do French and Spanish.
And that's 24/7.
Yes, it is 24/7, correct.
That sounds like a reasonably large organization.
It sounds large because it's 24/7, but you'd be surprised. You know, our tier one support team is able to cover that, and it's not that large.
The other thing that makes that difficult is just the number of disabilities that you do cover and the number of issues. You know, how are your people trained to do this diversity of tasks?
Yeah, so the profile of our folks supporting, we look for folks, one, that first of all are very technical, right? So really being able to understand those Windows operating system, Office operating system. And then we provide a fair amount of training. Hopefully the folks that we hire have a good background, especially with assistive technology, or, you know, they may or may not have a disability. Some folks do, some folks don't. But, you know, we provide an ample amount of training, hands-on training. And so, you know, like anything, over time, they build the proficiency and the skill, and they're able to help a variety of customers.
And what kind of support can people expect from the Disability Answer Desk? What are the typical type of questions people might ask?
So, yeah, I mean, so think of it as everything from a lot of how-tos, right? It's everything from questions about Windows 10 and upgrading all the different paths and how that works to, you know, I can't get my email to work, or I need to uninstall this, or do I have a virus? But all those typical questions that you would have at home when your Windows or Office isn't working, Those are the kind of questions that we get on a daily basis. And then, of course, there are those specific questions around, I'm trying to use JAWS, and, you know, it's not working with this command or with this scenario, and then we troubleshoot that too.
So most of these issues must be related to accessibility issues in terms of, you know, not only how do I format a document, but how do I do it from the pull-down menus or with my screen reader, right? I mean, you don't answer general questions for the general population in this help desk.
Well, you'd be surprised. I would say the customers that call us, you know, it's the disability answer desk. So they have a disability, but some questions are around assistive technology and how to, and like you just mentioned, but a lot of them are general, you know, I'm using Windows, I just got it home, I'm having trouble connecting to my network, you know, can you help me? So it has nothing really to do with that assistive technology. It's just how to use my product, and we support that.
So the support is a little bit more broad than the name might suggest.
Yes, yes.
Do you expect people who call up to certify that they've got some sort of disability, or you just rely on people being honest?
We rely on people being honest.
I assume that works most of the time.
It works most of the time, and you know, you can never tell, but, you know, we do our best to support everyone that calls us, and, you know, we believe that most of the folks calls do have a disability, and we just try to provide that top technical support for everybody.
And how has that been working in general? I mean, sometimes support can be a difficult thing, can take a long time with each individual, depending on the nature of the problem, and...
Yeah, no, it's, you know, it's like any support team and organization. There are tough issues to solve. Sometimes we have to follow back up with customers. Sometimes there are things we need to fix within the product. And that's a big piece of the disability answer desk that's really important to touch on, which is we take all the different reasons customers are calling us, and we take that what we call voice of the customer, and we drive it back into our engineering teams. So if customers are having a conflict, whether they're using Narrator or JAWS or anything in particular with any disability, we funnel that feedback back into the engineering team so that on our next version or next update of the products, hopefully we can better address, or we can improve the content that's out online for customers to help troubleshoot too. So that's a really important piece of this, is not just obviously helping customers get back online or set up, but it's also taking what they're hearing and seeing and ensuring that our engineering teams also understand that.
Well, that's a great feature, because if you can address these issues in the development cycle as opposed to after a product is out, you're much more ahead of the game, and it's easier to come out with something accessible rather than to fix it and patch it.
Exactly, yes. We like to think that accessibility is not a bolt-on, and so we've just got to continue to empower the engineering groups with what our customers are telling us.
So can you tell us a little bit about how this team is integrated into Microsoft and how other accessibility teams may operate within Microsoft itself?
Yeah, so the Disability Answer Desk team, like I mentioned, we have a Tier 1 support team, and then we've got a Tier 2, Tier 3 team that handles those tougher escalations. And then we're very integrated. Our team sits within the Chief Accessibility Officer's division at Microsoft. And then we partner with all the different engineering teams across Microsoft that I mentioned before to help kind of drive that feedback loop. And then there are multiple accessibility teams within Microsoft that sit within the engineering teams, or we have an inclusive design team that helps us with inclusive design. There's accessibility teams within our marketing and websites. And so there's a whole host of groups within the company that work on accessibility.
So there are sort of these localized team-wide accessibility teams, but there's some general integration where this all happens in an accessibility team for the corporation?
Correct. Think of it as more of that, you know, there's a centralized accessibility team we sit on, but there's individuals team within Microsoft that are accountable to drive accessibility within their products and services.
It's nice to see that more and more companies are organizing these efforts this way and addressing accessibility in a corporate-wide fashion rather than a small offshoot little team that doesn't have a big impact. That's made a big difference.
Yes, yes, totally. Having that governance and that insight at that level, totally.
Well, and the competition among the various companies to get accessibility better than the other guy has had a big impact on improving how good the out-of-the-box accessibility is for the customers, too.
Yep. Yeah, and it's also that, you know, universal design, right? So, you know, improving accessibility for this community is benefiting everybody. And so we're really big about the universal or inclusive design.
So I know that Microsoft just released their anniversary edition of Windows 10, and I'm wondering how you've addressed some of these accessibility concerns in Windows 10 in this brand new operating system.
Great question. So a couple things. We spent a lot of time on this anniversary update around accessibility, and we recently posted a blog on accessibility with a Windows anniversary update that just released. And so there are a lot of improvements. You can read about Narrator, the speed of Narrator, the different languages that Narrator is now in, to improvements with Edge working with Narrator, to the content that we were able to provide. So there's been a significant amount of improvements. We still have a ways to go, and we will continue to work on it with every version of Windows and every release. But we feel really good at the progress we've made since the last release of Windows, and we've seen some great feedback from customers.
So in terms of Narrator, a lot of people like to compare Narrator with VoiceOver being the built-in accessibility solution for an operating system. And I was kind of curious how you envision the path of the Narrator development in the future to come along in terms of its functionality. I mean, right now, one wouldn't use Narrator as their main accessibility solution for a screen reader. Is that expected to change, you think?
Yeah, I think there's a big commitment here to continue to build out and improve Narrator. There's a lot of work going on with Narrator, and we know we've got a ways to go with Narrator, but you'll see, as you see with the current version of Windows that's just come out, we've made some significant improvements and we're getting great feedback. That said, you know, we will continue to partner with all the other different ATs out there and their screen readers, because we know that's an important part of the ecosystem and our base uses that. And so we want to continue to partner with them to make sure that they can use Windows just as well as any customer using Narrator.
So you do work with the leading screen reader developers under the hood to make sure that all this works as soon as possible.
Yes, absolutely.
And you do have plans for continuing to improve your own accessibility solutions that are out of the box.
Absolutely, on both fronts, absolutely. Our partners are very important.
You mentioned during your introduction that you're also head of the disability hiring program. Can you talk about what kind of disabilities you're looking to hire people with and what kind of jobs you might have open with that in mind?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So we are very focused on hiring talent at Microsoft of all abilities. So it's everything from, you know, disabilities, whether it's vision or hearing or mobility, to cognitive disabilities like autism. We actually have a website. It's Microsoft.com/inclusive hiring. And if you go to that page, it lists a lot of jobs. That's not all the jobs, but they're your typical Microsoft jobs, right? From software engineer to program manager to data scientist. And we're looking for talent because we know that to truly have an inclusive environment and to build products and services for everyone, you need to have a workforce that includes everyone. And so we know there's a lot of talent out there, and we want to make sure that they have an opportunity to make an impact at Microsoft. So yes, spending a lot of time working with different entities to help us recruit and find talent.
And it sounds like inside Microsoft, once these people are hired, there's a lot of support for the kinds of accommodations they might need and the kinds of tasks they might be involved in.
Absolutely. Microsoft is, you know, in my mind, world-class at accommodations. We have, I believe, some of the best-in-class accommodations. We have support. We have employee resource groups for all different types of disabilities. And we just have a very inclusive culture. And so I believe, I feel really strongly that if you were to work at Microsoft, you would feel that.
And Microsoft has offices in many other places in addition to Redmond, Washington, right?
Absolutely. And that's the same around the world.
You talked about your support desk having international reach. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because we have a lot of international listeners who listen via podcast or streaming services.
That's great. I think, you know, we're in roughly 18 countries, 11, all that we call global English. So we support, for example, Philippines, India, UK, South Africa, a host of countries. And we also support countries that speak Spanish and French. So, you know, Mexico, France, Switzerland, several of those countries in addition. So I think it's a total of 18 countries that we support. And again, we offer support in English 24/7.
Well, cool.
And presumably you cover the entire world with the chat service that people can just do online.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, the chat makes up probably about 40% of our volume. So 6 out of 10 folks will call us on phone, and the other 40% will choose to chat with us.
Well, I'm glad we could help spread the word about this, because the Disability Answer Desk is really a great service of which many people may not have been aware before this broadcast. So, you know, I hope people try it out and see how valuable it can be.
Yeah, no, it's a great service. We definitely want to get the word out. We were just recently out speaking at several conferences this summer, getting the word out about the Disability Answer Desk. And so, you know, I encourage any of your listeners to give us a call and see how we can help them with anything that they have around Windows Office or any of our products.
Next week's show, as you'll hear later, includes an interview with Jonathan Mosen. And while we were talking with him, we mentioned to him this week's show about the Microsoft Disability Answer Desk. Here's what he had to say about his recent experience.
I actually had cause to use it a few weeks ago because Bunny's Microsoft Outlook would not send email. It's the most strange thing. So I called their disability thing, not having a lot of hope, really, because generally I find if I can't solve a technical issue, then it's quite difficult to solve.
Yeah.
And he spent a long time on it, and it wasn't a quick fix. But in the end, he found that if we elevated the shortcuts to run as administrator, then suddenly the email began sending in Outlook again. And I was very, very impressed. All of the instructions he gave were very keyboard-centric. He remoted into the machine and told me exactly what he was doing. It was super cool.
Wow.
So there's an impromptu endorsement from somebody who knew we were recording the conversation, but we had not actually asked him for an endorsement. That was just his honest appraisal.
And many of our listeners might know Jonathan Mosen as being part of Freedom Scientific's FSCast and Mosen Consulting.
Now for this week's final item, how to actually get answers from Microsoft's Disability Answer Desk.
So if people want to take advantage of this support option, how can they go about that?
So to get a hold of the Disability Answer Desk, there's several ways. One is for listeners that are in the United States is to call our phone number, which is 1-800-936-5900. You could also go to support.microsoft.com/answerdesk/accessibility.
And would people find the chat feature there?
Yep. On that page, the phone number is there, the chat feature is there, and then the sign language feature is there. You can also go to aka.ms/accessibility support.
And you also talked about some of the potential hiring opportunities. Can you tell us where people might go to find out more about some of those opportunities?
Yeah, absolutely. So for hiring opportunities, so these are full-time roles at Microsoft, go to microsoft.com/inclusive hiring. And there's a whole page with the different programs, the different jobs. And even if you don't see a job that's right for you, post it right there. Feel free to apply. And, you know, we're always looking for talent.
Are there any other special resources where you would point people to learn more about what Microsoft does in the way of accessibility and keep track of what's new?
The main site, microsoft.com/accessibility. It's a new design site that has a lot of information out there, from our blogs to our product roadmaps to our support. A lot of the topics that we touched on in today's talk live right off of this site. So microsoft.com/accessibility.
Is there anything we missed that you'd like to talk about?
No, I think you've done a great job. I would just like to restate that for all users out there that have not upgraded yet to Windows 10, we are here to help. There is a path to move forward for customers using assistive technology. And so please, you know, there's a lot of material out there, but feel free to call us if you need help, and we're here for you when you're ready.
That deadline for the general population was the end of July. Is that an extended deadline for people with disabilities?
Yes, it's an extended deadline for people using assistive technology.
And what's the deadline for them?
It is an open period right now. And so there is a blog out there that talks about, and we have a site out there for individuals that are using assistive technology, that when they're ready, they can still upgrade.
Well, that's very generous. Thank you.
We are here to help.
And if you look in the show notes associated with this show, you'll find links to the Disability Answer Desk, as well as some of the other resources that we talked about, and the employment pages on the Microsoft site. So check out the show notes at www.eyesonsuccess.net. And if you enjoy this show and would like to receive alerts about future shows of Eyes on Success, which you might be interested in, consider joining our Eyes on Success announcements list. If you join that list, you'll receive a weekly email that contains a summary of the show, along with links to the audio and show notes for that week's episode. You can join this email announcements list by sending an email to Eyes on Success, followed by the plus sign, followed by subscribe at googlegroups.com. And if you accept the invitation, you'll receive those weekly announcements. Now, that's a relatively low traffic list because we only send out those announcements. But if you'd like to connect with other listeners to discuss topics that you've heard on the show or ask questions and interact with other listeners, then you can join our Eyes on Success discussion forum. You can join the discussion forum and post your own thoughts by sending an email to EOS_discuss+subscribe@googlegroups.com. And that can be a fun way to interact with others and share your thoughts. And of course, you can connect with us on Facebook at Eyes on Success or Twitter at _EyesOnSuccess. So there's a bunch of ways you can keep connected with the show.
That's it for show number 1634. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about Mushroom FM Radio. Mushroom FM Radio is a globally available internet radio station completely run by blind individuals. As promised, we'll speak with Jonathan Mosen, founder, director, and weekly DJ, about Mushroom FM, as they call it, the home of the fun guys, about how this streaming service got started and how to listen anywhere, anytime. You can also learn about how you too can participate. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-210-8094.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com at Eyes on Success, or Twitter at _EyesOnSuccess. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success and have a nice day.